Be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's a long text, so I'm not going to preach on the whole thing. You kind of have to make choices, and I decided to go for the beginning verses where Jesus said to them, the disciples, Amen, I say to you, unless you turn around, do about face, and become like children, you will surely not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is our text. You know, I've always been amazed by the response of Jesus to the disciples' question about who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm first of all amazed that the disciples were stupid enough to ask that question, frankly. Who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But, you know, inquiring minds want to know. But then there's his answer. You want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Be like children. And if you don't, then you won't enter the kingdom. Really? I mean, what is it about children that Jesus had in mind? I grew up in the age when children were to be seen and not heard. I mean, my mom had to deal with seven of us, and I don't think our behavior in church is what Jesus was thinking about when he talked to his disciples. In fact, I remember one of my parishioners telling me when her kids acted up, she would just mention the free baby box at the mall where you could drop off your kids when they were misbehaving. So what is it about children that Jesus would use them as an example for his disciples to emulate? You know, we're pretty quick to jump to the truism that it's, you know, the innocence of children that Jesus is upholding here. I'm sure there's something to that, but that seems a little too easy, and frankly, the children I've encountered have not always been so innocent. In this present age, innocence is something, frankly, hard to come by in COVID-19, you know, and everything else. I sometimes wonder, you know, how Jesus' words are heard today. Children are not always seen as the gifts Jesus implies they are, nor are they welcomed into the world by many who see them as a burden, as an inconvenience. And it's hard not to sympathize when your own are acting up, you know, and then they bring you a picture they drew or something they made at school, you know, and it just changes the whole perspective. I still have the t-shirt that says number one dad, you know, that my boys gave me. But so what is it about children that the Son of God, who was also the Son of Man, goes so far as to tell his disciples that heaven is populated with them? I can just see St. Peter saying, you know, wait, you have to be this short to enter. No, maybe this short. Who knows? No. The short answer is, you know, Jesus doesn't tell us what the reasons are. It's almost as if he just expects us to know that this is something that should be, shall we say, innate knowledge to us. And the fact that it isn't means something has gone terribly wrong with this world. I mentioned innocence before. I mean, this virus, our racial divides, our politics. We've lost our innocence that everything is going to be okay. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe that's why he says woe more than once in our text. Woe to the world by which scandal comes. Woe to those who bring it. Notice he does his children's sermon, though, right there in front of the disciples by bringing one of the kids right into the middle of them all, as if to say, isn't it obvious? What would that little child have preached to those disciples? I think even in his silence, he would have preached things like vulnerability, dependence, total trust, total recognition of the need for grace, no ability to do anything, recognition that this child was not his own. He or she, for that matter, did not bring himself into this world. He was brought into this world by someone else. Two people, ideally, who loved him and who cared for him. He might have preached recognition that he was the future, not the past. And yes, he no doubt preached innocence too, knowing there was nothing he brought to the table, but that he's still welcome to the table, and he's fed, and he's taken care of anyway. Now, granted, most likely it would be an innocence that would be lost soon enough, the longer any of us live in this world. But it is also an innocence regained because of the God who became a child for us and for our salvation. The Son of God became the Son of Man, totally innocent, in order to declare us innocent. So what is it about children that they so readily enter the kingdom of heaven ahead of their elders? On the one hand, Paul tells us to leave childish things behind and to become mature in our faith. Then again, Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as we're going to be doing in just a little bit. So which is it? Both. The whole point of being a child is the potential to grow. But grow into what? Well, I hate to tell the younger generation, but for good or for ill, you usually grow up to be more like your parents than you think you will. We are our parents' children, with all that that means. But that's not all bad either. I mean, listen to what Matthew's fellow disciple John wrote about this in 1 John chapter 3. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." He says, "Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." We are the children of God, with all that that means. Imagine that parent-teacher conference. Yeah. We are known by the one who brought us into this whole world, and he brought this whole world into existence as well. And he doesn't just know about us, he knows us, just like parents know their children. And he still loves us and is actually looking forward to when we come back home, not to live in the basement, but in one of those many rooms that he's prepared for us already on arrival. When he appears to bring us home, we shall be like him, John says. Think about that the next time that you listen to the news or hear about COVID-19 or politics or whatever it is. There's much more to life than meets the eye or what you see on the evening news or see on Facebook arguments or TikTok or whatever. And children know this. They know there's more. And that's why even in the midst of the craziness, they can actually play. And perhaps at the end of the day, that is one of the characteristics God most enjoys about children. They know how to play, and they know how to enjoy what he's given them, even in the midst of the craziness. Because they know there is a whole future ahead for them. There is a whole future ahead for you. One that you can't even imagine. An undiscovered country just on the horizon. Jesus, in fact, calls it paradise. And that's what your Father has in store for you, his children. And so my prayer for you is that God may give you that joy, that willingness to play in his world that he's given you, and to rejoice ultimately in the fact that you're going to see your dad in heaven and you're going to be there with him to rejoice in all the gifts he has to give. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.